Here we go. One and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 63, Avengers vs. X-Men Final Battle Report. I am Chris, the Snot Master Mosby.
I'm just going to be Caleb Gerard. I'm good with that.
I'm Murray Fox. I'm the healthy one.
Yeah. Kind of clarify that. It's been a rough week. Ear infection, upper respiratory infection. They gave me a nice shot, which actually I think was maybe worse than what I had because it was so powerful. And they hit a muscle. My left leg was almost unusable yesterday. I was in a lot of pain.
a flu shot? They shot
a penicillin. Like a million, 1.2 million units of penicillin into my lower buttocks or somewhere.
Remind me not to get a shot in my ass. Okay.
Oh, Jesus, man. Yeah, it actually made my leg numb, but luckily that wasn't the leg that I had to hit the gas with to go home. So, but I'm feeling much better now.
There you go. It was all worth it.
Yeah.
Can't imagine how you sounded before that. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. I actually lost. It was great because I had to go to meetings and stuff. I was trying to say it was allergies and, oh, I'm okay. And I'm like, rah, 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 and then I'd lose my voice completely. And it was ridiculous. So.
Excellent. Way to make a great first impression.
Yeah, well, it's the third week instead of the first week. So that's a little different. And I did not go to work on Friday, which was not, you know, greatest. But they had to listen to me all week, so they were probably okay with it.
I remember one time I was really sick at work, and I had no vacation. I had no sick time at all built up. I'd used all this. Was like right after our second kid was born.
Mm-hmm.
I'd used all my time off.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting at my desk, and I was and my boss came up to me and goes, feeling okay? I mean, it's just, you know, one of those stupid questions that it's like,
yeah,
no, I'm okay. It's like, you know, your coworkers are kind of don't want you here.
There you go.
We've taken up a collection.
I don't have any sick time. He said, you know what? We'll make it work somehow for you.
Yeah, just pretend like you were here.
Hey.
Everyone contributed a dollar, and Caleb got to go home.
That's another thing I learned is the value of health insurance, because mine hasn't kicked in yet. It was like $167 trip.
You didn't Cobra?
I haven't got the paperwork yet.
For Cobra from your wow.
No, uh-uh. It must have.
Oh, you know. Canada.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I know. We're trying. I mean, you know, until the Republicans, you know, they've tried to keep it out all they can, so who knows what'll happen there. Anyway.
Oh, Canada.
I think we have people that live in the doctor's office. I think that's their permanent home up here.
Yeah, well,
they go from, like, doctor's office to emergency room, and then they take a little vacation at the clinic, and then they head back. Yeah, I don't even think they have homes. They live with the doctor.
Wow. But, yeah, it was funny. I got my insurance card in the mail that very day, but I didn't get it until after I got home, so that's all right. It's all good. I feel better now.
Except then you send the bill to whoever your insurance company is, and they'll
I'll probably have to do that.
They'll reimburse you.
I think, I don't know if it's actually, I might have got the card, but I don't think it actually goes into effect for another week, so.
Oh, well, then you're SOL.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's okay, that's what credit cards are for.
Unless you move to
Canada. Yeah, well, it's okay. I might visit, but I don't know if I want to live there.
Or France, or Spain.
Yeah, I know.
Netherlands.
All the other civilized countries.
Or Brazil, or
all right, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, it's Avengers versus X-Men episode.
So this will be spoiler-filled. I mean, this is...
Spoiler-filled from I don't know however many weeks ago it was.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It did end a couple weeks ago, but we are solidly in the middle of the...
About a week after... Yeah, it was around the 8th-ish. I don't know the exact date, I'm guessing.
Consequences.
Yes.
So, I'm going to cheat.
I called it too, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
Don't Don't break your arm. Pat yourself on the back.
Oh, I never do that.
Can you feel your arm?
Yeah, actually, I can feel my arm.
It's nice.
With the other.
Okay, so
anyway, no, I'm just kidding.
So a quick synopsis. So this whole thing was about the Phoenix Force coming to Earth, and then Tony Stark figured out a way to break up the Phoenix Force, but instead of disintegrating, it broke up and went into five of the X-Men, who became the Phoenix Force 5, Fox Force 5.
Mm-hmm. We're doing a whole recap, is that what we're doing?
No, I'm just catching us up.
Highlights, yeah, because it was August from the last time we did one.
So, the X-Men start doing good for the world with and growing wheat in the desert and all sorts of, you know, miraculous and biblical things. But they start going a little nuts, as will happen when you get infected with the Phoenix Force. And when last we left them, I think it looks like Namor had been knocked out. His Phoenix portion had been divided into the remaining four, between Magic, Frost, Cyclops, and Colossus. And the Avengers, who were trying to stop all of this, have ended up hanging out. Is that what that place is called? Which is Iron Fist's.
Kunlun, I think.
That's what I said.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Did I not emphasize the Luna? I don't know.
You skittered out a little bit in my ear there for a second.
And we have the Avengers protecting Hope, who is trying to get trained to figure out what she's really going to do with herself. You know, what's she going to do with her life? Is she going to go to college? Is she going to go get
try
a job?
Try some modeling.
Oh. Modeling, yes. Right. Kids. Move to another planet. Who knows? So I think that's kind of where we left. It was the end of Act 2, which is technically called No More Avengers. And and God help us, this pissed me off. They called the last part of their story, There Can Only Be One.
Answer that. No way.
Anybody a Highlander fan will, as I am. There can only be one. There can be only one.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Phone ring for
me. So they continue to train Hope in Kunlun, which just seemed really odd. It seemed like a way to squeeze in Iron Fist and Spider-Man into the story. No, you know what? We were actually past that because last time we had talked, I know Spider-Man had gotten an ass kicked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had it in my note. I heard at one point, I was listening to the last one, that we were going to talk to about 10, but I didn't see that in my notes. So we might, 10 through 12 is what we might need to go over.
So, I don't know quite where that leaves us. I know that he had gotten his ass kicked, but he also had defeated Colossus and Magic, and their portions of the Phoenix Force had been then divided between Cyclops and Emma Frost.
Right. They're the last two.
Right. So the Avengers confront them. They defeat Emma Frost. And then they were down to Cyclops, who completely Dark Phoenix is out for issue 11. And quote-unquote kills Professor Xavier, who is finally, after 11 issues, does something productive, which is die.
I called it.
And then in issue 12, we see the second appearance of Nova, who was so important to the story that they didn't use him at all.
Yeah, I know. They made a big deal about that, didn't they?
They did. And if you look at the point one issue that came out recently, he actually has gone from being what appears to be a young adult to a child. He's aging backwards.
Yeah, that's always fun.
So they go in, they fight Cyclops, who of course they defeat, but not after. But it took the death of Professor X to make that happen. Mm. And Hope gets the power of the Phoenix back, and as was promised by the X-Men from the very beginning, she uses that to restore the mutants to the Marvel universe.
Yeah, which I thought was funny. That's what Cyclops did, and they went through all that, and they just let her do it anyway.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
So 6 months later, status quo for Marvel circa 1990 with millions of mutants around, and the big change is that now we have the X-Avengers rather than two separate teams, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for dialing in, guys. We'll see you next week. No, no.
Yeah. Oh. Hold on. That's my mom's phone. 1 second, boys. Continue.
All right. Apologies, but I'm kind of losing my track of thought here. But I don't know. I actually enjoyed it, despite the fact that it was a big circle and we ended up exactly where we should have ended. You know, they could have told it all in, I don't know, a special. With just, Hope gets the Phoenix Force and restores mutants, and there is mutants as opposed to no more mutants, which is what Scarlet Witch had done, 5-6 years ago? Anybody? Am I talking to myself now? I guess so. Murray? Chris?
Sorry, I had the mute on. I had a phone call. But I'm back. No. Yes, you were not talking. You're not talking to yourself. I was replying. You just didn't hear me.
A Skype drop.
Hello. Anyway, no, I would agree. Like, it was – I don't mind that it was 12 issues, but it was – it kind of – I don't know if it meandered. I don't know if that's the right word. But
okay,
I think
I'm back.
For –
What are we talking about?
We were talking about you.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things with live recording in somebody else's house.
I hear you. No, I was saying, like, for 12 issues, I was hoping for – I don't know if we had 12 issues worth of story. I would have liked to see some character arcs mixed in with the story of the Phoenix Force coming back, I think. Really, there wasn't much of a character arc for anybody. Like, Scarlet Witch maybe was looking for some kind of redemption, but between issues 0 and 12 – she was hardly saw her, and there wasn't much of a, I don't know, she didn't get much of a story. Like, in the 0 issue, you got the impression that what's his name, Vision was going to shun her, and that she was going to be, you know, like, she was going to have a rough go of it, but we don't see any of that rough go in the main series. And, for me, I like a little bit of character story going on with the main story, so I would have liked to see some of that, but it was fine for what it was.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, we never even saw the Vision again, or if we did, he was a background character the rest of the story, and it was such a big deal. You're right, in the 0 issue, that their relationship.
Well, we hardly saw the X-Men in the Avengers versus X-Men. You know, like, we saw Cyclops, and we saw the Phoenix 5 to an extent, but then the rest of the X-Men were just kind of faces in the crowd that they needed to fill battle scenes and stuff. Like, but I mean, the same can be said of the Avengers. We saw Iron Man, we saw Cap, we saw a bit of Spider-Man and Wolverine, and that was kind of it for them. So I don't know.
No. And I agree. There was a serious lack of other characters. It was the usual faces, and the other ones that did pop in, they were convenient for the story. Like, I mean, even Namor, he really, you know, he's one of the Phoenix Force 5, but they only really used him for one story point, which was to destroy Wakanda, and then that was it. Then he's back to being, you know, not in the book at all.
Yeah,
and
like,
I don't remember seeing a ton of either magic or Colossus, or even Emma Frost, for that matter.
Yeah, no.
Usually she would pop up and be Cyclops' Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, like, you're right. There was potential for lots of little character interactions and character moments that we didn't see. We could have seen a lot more between Emma trying to manipulate things behind the scenes and Emma trying to work with Scott, or trying to work Scott, and none of that really happened. Look, when I think of a 12-issue series and I think of Crisis, which had, like, it was jam-packed with characters and stuff, and this was a 12-issue series that was not as jam-packed. I mean, it probably told its story. Like, in the continuum of jam-packed to lesser-packed, I prefer jam-packed, but...
Oh, absolutely. For 12 issues, I think you could probably count off the consequences on one hand, long-term consequences on one hand, and that seems odd. And you're right, for Crisis, I mean, setting aside the whole universe chamber consequences, there were a lot of other, you know, little consequences that played out, and they didn't feel shoehorned in. They felt like they were organic to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And let me stop and just say, I actually liked Avengers versus X-Men for, you know, the popcorn factor.
Yeah.
So don't.
I enjoyed it for the most part too.
Yeah.
I think the ending is what was the most lacking out of all of it. It just kind of dropped off, in my opinion. Hello. Still there?
Murray, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yep.
Chris, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll cut out for a second. And I'll quit moving around.
Yeah, I was going to say... What was I going to say? Huh.
Chris was going to say it dropped off at the end.
The end. Yeah. I, as goofy and kind of hokey as the No More Phoenix was, I kind of thought that was okay. Like, considering it all started with Wanda doing the No More Mutants thing, I'm kind of okay with the two of them holding hands and No More Phoenixing away the Phoenix Force. Like, that, it's goofy, but it. There's a bit of symmetry there. I didn't mind that. And I like that they used that force to kind of, like, they got rid of it, but it dissipated out there, and it's bringing more mutants back. So it kind of is an ending. Like, I don't think we'll see the Phoenix come back anytime soon.
No.
Not after that, no.
I was a little confused. I thought that it had fixed everything, but apparently, all it did was just... take away all the good stuff that it had done, but it didn't really fix all the bad stuff that had happened. Like, anybody who died is still dead. Any countries that were destroyed were still destroyed, but there was no more wheat growing in the middle of the desert. There was no more lack of sickness or whatever, all the things that they had been trying to do.
I don't really like how they left Cyclops either, but...
A story point that actually just popped in my head that bugged me is... They had the Phoenix Force, which was capable, clearly, of restoring mutant kind. How come the five of them didn't restore mutant kind?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a very good question.
Well, maybe, yeah, that would answer
the question. Maybe they needed whatever Hope had in her, combined with the magic of Wanda, to really harness it that way. Maybe that would be my... That would be my no prize guess. They needed to combine the hex power with the whatever Hope has within her intrinsically to really harness the Phoenix Force to do the returning of the mutant stuff.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call bullshit. Not on you, Murray, but it sounds to me again. It's very Bendis like to write a. And now, you know, Jeff Johns like to take a two-issue story and stretch it out over 12 issues. And this is good. Bendis was good, the architect in this, and everyone else.
Yeah, I know. I just thought that, you know, after all that crap, they just went ahead and let her do exactly what he wanted to do, what Cyclops wanted. And meanwhile, he's in jail. Now, I don't know if you guys read the AVX Consequences book.
It's really
good. Really good.
I don't know if it's good, but...
Oh, really? I see. I'm enjoying it.
It's interesting. I haven't read any of the other Aftermath stuff in any of the other books. But, I don't know. It's an interesting look at it. on what's going, you know.
And truly, like, the most interesting that Cyclops has been as a solo character in a long time.
Well, see, that's my. I've always been a fan of Cyclops, though. Not everybody else has, and I guess that's what my why it's different for me. But
as a solo character,
yeah.
Has he ever
really been a solo character though?
No, maybe not. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's what makes him so interesting now, is he's finally on his own, whereas usually he's leading the team.
Yeah.
I actually am finding that series to be, at least the two issues so far, have been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've left Cyclops in an interesting place to explore some interesting stories,
yeah.
For sure.
And you got the, his quote-unquote extinction team, so.
So just to count off the consequences from AVX, Wakanda has been destroyed, and they're now apparently at war with Atlantis. Professor Xavier is dead. Cyclops is the martyr for the whole event. And there's no more X-Men, it seems.
No, none at all.
It seems that they've all been folded into... There's an Avengers, but there's really no more X-Men.
No, and I would have to... unless there's something going on in... the whatever's left of the X-Men books, because there's still going to be X-Men books, right?
Yeah, no, there's going to be X-Men Legacy. There's going to be there's X-Factor, which had a really cool tie-in to this whole thing. There's going to be what else is there? Wolverine, of course. Wolverine and the X-Men.
Blah,
blah, blah. Wolverine's actually restarting. I think they're giving it a new number one.
Yeah.
Isn't one of the other consequences, though, that the Phoenix Five are outlaws now?
Yeah, they are.
And
they're on the run. That's what they say at the end of it.
And Magneto, is he also... Are we also supposed to think that he's... now on the wrong side of the law or something? Because
yeah, he is, because when they show him there towards the end,
yeah, he's all hooded and running away. And
exactly.
Why? What exactly did he do that was...
He sided with Cyclops. See, that's one of my problems with this.
Okay, but so does that mean all the X-Men that sided with Cyclops are being hunted, or is it only Magneto because he's got a history of being...
All the ones that didn't change their mind.
I think it mentioned in consequences. Okay. It was Magneto, Danger, Namor, Magic, Colossus, and there was one other, I think, because they have Emma Frost in custody.
So they're all being...
They do. I didn't miss that.
For... This is the part I'm not thrilled with. Like, their crime is what? They fought the Avengers, but I have a hard time believing that's a law on the book somewhere, that the Avengers can't be – the Avengers can't fight. If you fight the Avengers, that's illegal. Is that a law in the States? I'm not clear. Like, I don't see that being a law. So they were fighting the Avengers, but so what? That happened. That's been happening since, like, 1963. These guys get together and they fight. So that's – I mean, clearly that's not illegal. So –
Well, there was the destruction of... I mean, they're going to bring it up again and again.
Destruction of Wakanda, sure, but that was Namor, not... That was Namor. Like, so they can hunt Namor, sure, I got no problem with that. But what did the rest of the Phoenix Five do? Like, they solved world hunger, they brought peace to the world. These are crimes, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I guess? I don't understand it. Like, there's... And I mean, I guess that's what happens in the real world, right? Like you look for a scapegoat and you point your finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess it's kind of realistic, but if you stop and think, like, either they were responsible for all this great stuff, which is wonderful, or they were possessed. And if they're possessed by the Phoenix power, then why are you holding them accountable when they weren't in their right mind?
Right. They never put Jean Grey in jail.
No.
I mean, they tried to kill her. The Shi'ar tried to kill her, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Scarlet Witch, like, she was not in her right mind, apparently.
Well, yeah, but she got rid of mutants. That's okay.
Okay. I guess.
Well, I mean, there's clearly a bias against mutants, even though they're pretending not to me.
And if they explore that, like, if they explore that idea in stories, that'll be kind of cool to read.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I agree. I mean, the more we talk about it, the more this is kind of the straw man aspect of this is really becoming evident, that there it's very easily blown away.
Yeah, and you know, and then you read Uncanny Avengers number one. Anybody read that?
I did.
I did too. I even pre-ordered the second one. They let you do that. They let you, for some reason, they let Marvel let you do that last week.
But why would you want to pre-order it?
I don't know. I just did. It's like, oh, okay, sure. But anyway, they're probably just doing it for numbers reasons. But
I'm trying to figure out what exactly, as a whole, did they do that was so wrong? I mean, they don't talk about, other than Wakanda, which, like you pointed out, Murray, that's Namor.
That's pretty bad. I mean, yeah.
What did the other four do that was so god-awful?
Yeah, it's very vague, isn't it?
I'm looking through the wiki thing to see.
Well, Professor X, but that was Cyclops.
And that was Cyclops possessed.
Exactly. And, you know, Jean Grey, she killed a whole entire planet, but, I mean...
A broccoli. It was broccoli, though.
Yes. Well, still, but... That's the distinction. It wasn't a whole planet of humans. It was a planet of aliens, so that's okay. I mean, we'll let her off. But he kills Professor X, which, you know, he did kill Professor X. But then again, he was under control of the Phoenix, too. So why is that okay, and why is what Jean Grey did okay, and what he did not?
Or what Scarlet Witch did. I mean,
exactly.
She seems to be getting a pass. I mean, people keep going, well, you killed all the, you did this stuff to all the mutants. Well,
yeah. She didn't really kill them, though. She just took their powers away. But still, it's about the same.
Some died, though. I mean, I remember back when that happened. They showed stories about, you know, the guy, what's his name, the Blob. He actually killed himself. He took his own life.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was just this bag of skin. Yeah. Sorry. Andy Murray, now you got me thinking about what a flawed story this is.
Well, there's flaws, but I mean it's flawed, but it was still, like, I mean, it's a good read, right? And the flaws are sort of coming out of the way Marvel has always been. Like, they've always been a punch first, think later type of.
Yeah, and they're always damaged goods. All of them are.
Yeah. So it's not. I mean, while it would have made sense for everyone to sit down and go, hey, we should probably talk about this and create a plan, that's not really the Marvel way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the guys don't do that. But can I just say, Captain America is an ass.
Yeah, exactly. I've been saying that since the first issue.
Issue 12? Holy ram at home, man. Wow.
Yeah. Holy what?
Like, he's just... He's an ass. He's just such a dink. Ugh. So ugh. Like, throwing everything on Cyclops' shoulders and taking no ownership for any role that he might have played in this.
Absolutely.
Except to say that, yeah, 60 years ago, I probably should have been more inclusive and allowed mutants onto my team. Except that he did. Like, when he was in the Avengers,
it
was him, two mutants, and Hawkeye. Like, 50-50, mm-hmm. How is that not...
Yeah, I know, they're not counting Wanda and...
Not just mutants, he brought in, criminal mutants into the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
They had actually done things like rob banks and I don't know.
Yeah, but he's still not counting them as mutants. He's counting them as Avengers.
I guess. Either way, he was pretty... high and mighty. He needs to be taken down a peg.
Yeah, I've said that since the very first time this thing started.
Oh yeah, no, this is on him, and I mean, I said it on a thread somewhere where it's on him and it's on Tony Stark, and it's actually a lot of it's on the Avengers for not letting, you know, for thinking that they knew better.
Yeah, but history's written by the winners, or whatever that saying is.
That's right.
I'm not sure if it's saying. You get my point. They won, they get to say.
I don't remember where I read it, but, you know, no mutants allowed in Wakanda, which I can understand, but Storm herself is a fugitive. You know.
In Wakanda? Ooh.
Yeah, I don't remember where I read that. Maybe in one of those consequences issues.
It was, yeah, it was not in consequences. It was in, Shnikey, what was it in? No, it wasn't consequences. It was in consequences number one. It's when Wolverine is trying to fly to Wakanda with a bunch of students to help out.
Yeah, to help fix things.
He's
right.
And says, "Don't do it," and then they start shooting at them or something like that. And Black Panther standing there looking all regal and pissed off.
Microwave for now. Anyway. Sorry, I was talking to my dad.
Ultimately, things ended up where they were back again 6 or 7 years ago, where there's mutants everywhere. I enjoyed it for the popcorn factor the same way I would enjoy, you know, Transformers number one. It was fun, but. God, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk about it because it starts to fall apart and I start to...
Oh, yeah, I was like immediately...
I start to feel...
And I absolutely hate Wolverine now.
Why?
Because he's self-righteous. I just don't like him anymore because of this thing. Except for when the Phoenix take over, I'm still on Cyclops' side.
Were you on his side from the beginning, that whole...
Cyclops? Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't remember that. I'm sorry.
He kept acting more and more crazy. I understand that, but still, I mean, jeez. I just don't understand why he's... I don't know. Like we said, they didn't do anything like that to Jean Grey, but meanwhile, he's in jail.
And they keep changing his helmet from series to series. In one series, it's just a pair of
I hadn't noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that. And consequences, he's got that big old helmet sitting on top of him. In another series, he's just got a visor that's glued to his face.
You know what? It's probably like a Project Runway challenge where they have like the designers kind of compete to create the. The best headgear for Cyclops. You know it.
Mm-hmm.
Little Heidi Klum or whatever is out there, and she's picking the piece that works best.
And then they're going to throw... They're going to. One of them's going to start crying.
Man, I don't know.
How could you do this to me? I like that visor.
Exactly.
So... Yeah, and in Marvel now, you got the Uncanny Avengers.
Yes.
You're going to have that all-new X-Men, which is going to have the X-Men from the past.
I
don't get
it. Did you see the latest image on that? It's got those five X-Men, the kids, but then on the other side of it, it's got Cyclops, Magic, Emma Frost. Oh, I can't remember the other two, but it's got...
I think Kitty Pryde is in there somewhere.
Yeah. And of course, it's Brian Michael Bendis.
That series, though, to me, sounds like it's got at least a bit of a hook. Like, bringing them in from the past and mixing them up with the X-Men from the present. Like, it's kind of classic X-Men stuff. They're always going to visit dystopian futures, so now the guys from the 60s are coming to visit the present, which is their dystopian future, and they're like there's story potential there for sure, whether I'm into it or not, I don't know, but it's got a strong hook and it's got a strong direction, and
Stuart Immonen. Yeah,
strong artists attached to it, for sure.
I think it's a way for them to bring Jean Grey back. I think it's a way to...
Oh, Lord.
To have Cyclops involved in the... bigger universe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, in the solicits, January solicits, they're marking X-Men number 40 is billed as the end of an era, but it does not say final issue.
Yes, we will see. Well, yep. Like, it'll be, of all the X-Men coming back from the past, like, Jean is dead, so they've got free reign to do whatever they want with her. Scott's in jail, so they can do whatever they want with new Scott, because he'll be all angsty and stuff. The Beast is a boy and not a furry blue thing, so they can play around with that. Angel, I don't know what they've done with Angel. What is he doing right now?
I don't know. One second he was a kid, next minute I think I saw he's full size.
Yeah, he's they've powered him up a bit, and he is got very little memory of who he was, things like that.
Okay, so there's stuff they can play with there too. Iceman is probably the only one who's relatively unchanged from the 60s, maybe?
Yeah, the hell, like, he's still a kid almost.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's got tons of life experience and stuff, but really, he's still the same Iceman guy, so... So... He'd better watch.
Here I thought this was gonna, like, you know, energize my X-Men reading and maybe get me reading an X-Men title, but no.
Instead, you're going to be wearing black armbands and a red eye support of Scott.
Yeah, I don't, it's bad.
Well, the one that's coming out that kind of bugs me is Brian Bendis is doing Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm disappointed in that. I love Guardians of the Galaxy, and I know why they're having him write it, but I'm disappointed that it's him writing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like him as a writer, or sometimes.
Really?
Have I said that before? I don't know.
I think you've mentioned it once or twice, yeah.
But we get Jeff Darrow on Deadpool. Even Murray, even you've got to be looking forward to that.
It's Deadpool. I could care less.
Who's Jeff Darrow?
Jeff Darrow? He did... I'll give you a list of Jeff Darrow credits. This is going to bug me, because now I was going to throw something in your face, but now I can't, because I wasn't prepared. I came to a knife fight with a gun. I mean, it was a gunfight with a knife. Jeff Darrow.
Man, what are you doing?
He's typing. He's Googling.
It's like he's playing the drums.
He did Hardboiled. He did Big Guy and Rusty.
Oh, that Jeff Darrow.
That Jeff Darrow.
Oh, I think I've heard of that one.
He did the conceptual art for Speed Racer.
The movie?
Huh? The movie.
Woohoo. I still haven't seen that.
Who was it that was on here that was talking about loving Big Guy and Rusty the Rook Boy, the Boy Robot?
I thought I was mentioning that. Yeah, I haven't read the original, but I saw some of the cartoon.
I thought that was you, Murray, but I guess
no. Not. I have never seen it.
Okay.
Read it. Looked at it. Sorry.
All right. About Jonathan Hickman doing Avengers. Anybody?
I will look at the first issue, and we'll go from there. I'd like to like it, but I don't know that I'm Hickman's audience. I don't know. There's not much he's read that I've really loved. But I'll give it a try, because I like the idea of lots of characters, and if lots of characters means that there's going to be lots of characters in the book, I'm totally into looking at it. If it just means there's going to be lots of characters on the team, but we're going to have one or two in each issue, then I'm probably not down for it. But again, we'll see. We'll see. It sounds like he's enthusiastic about it. It sounds like he's got big plans. So I'll look at it. I will look at it.
It looks like he's getting a chance to do what he did with the Fantastic Four, which is two titles, that are tied together but separate at the same time. Because FF and Fantastic Four, while having similar notes between the two books, were different stories going on. So it looks like
I'm going to need more story than I got. Like, if what he's doing is just writing the way he wrote for Fantastic Four, but he's writing it with Avengers characters, I'm probably not sticking around, because I didn't love his Fantastic Four run. I didn't think there was enough... There wasn't enough of the four for me. Like, it was read all the time, and there wasn't enough story per issue.
I stopped reading those probably 6 or 7 months ago, so very competitive.
But I'm looking at it. I'm looking forward to looking in on it. And I'm kind of looking forward to some of the Fantastic Four titles, too. I didn't think I was going to be thrilled about it, but I think there was some preview art online posted somewhere, and I thought it looked Fantastic Four-y to me, so... I'm going to give that a try, too.
There was a really cool short in the Point One that came out last week with Ant-Man.
That $6 book? You bought that?
I read it, yes.
Sorry.
Don't delve any deeper.
All red art in there, but it was a really clever story about, Scott Lang dealing with the consequences of his daughter getting killed by Dr. Doom. Avengers miniseries from earlier this year.
Interesting.
Oh, so that's the Ant-Man they're going with. They're going with the Scott Lang, not the guy that came after the... Is that the guy that Kirkman wrote? The irredeemable Ant-Man?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Scott Lang, at least for now. So. Oh, wait. But it was, they brought it back to life, so they might as well use him.
Yes.
They brought him back to life.
Yes.
Yeah, he was killed off by the Scarlet Witch. Was it the Scarlet Witch, or maybe it was before that?
Jesus. No, you know who killed him was Jack Parts.
Oh.
But his corpse was reanimated by Scarlet Witch. So
Jack Lord.
That was a Jeff Johns. That's when Jeff Johns was writing the book, right?
I'm not surprised.
It was Bendis. It was like right at the beginning of the Bendis era.
So that was Bendis. Disassembled then? He was killed and disassembled? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then it was Bendis.
It was right there. It wasn't as big a deal as when Hawkeye died for 5 minutes, but
I never understood that one. Artists, they get a new book and then I feel like they have to wipe everything out before they can do anything with it,
I guess when you think of where Avengers was like 8-9 years ago and where it is now, like 8-9 years ago it was not one of their top books, it wasn't on anyone's radar, it was just coming off of what, the Crossing or
I don't know.
I don't even remember, but it was it wasn't coming off the Crossing. Good Lord, no. It was coming off of Dick Rez and whole run. But like much later.
Okay.
Your timing on that wasn't bad when you said it was Jeff Johns. I think Jeff Johns was like just prior to Bendis.
I don't think it was the best Jeff Johns we got there.
And that stupid She-Hulk story in there.
There was that story. There was a scene with Wasp and Yellowjacket.
That one I remember hearing about.
Oh yeah, in Vegas. Oh god, I forgot about that.
Nasty. Hey.
Yeah. Avengers were not quite on the map at that point. So, I mean, like it or not, he put them where they were able to, he put them where they are now, and they're able to support a $1 billion movie, so something he did worked. Whether well, you like it or not.
Yeah, but he didn't do it completely.
He didn't do the movie for sure, but he
well, and they've been building up. They've been building up to that for years and years.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they could have done a lot of what. I mean, to his credit, he like Murray said, he put them back on Marvel's radar. You know, gave them an opportunity to showcase Wolverine's Spider-Man outside of their usual world.
Right.
He was allowed to use characters that no one else thought that they could really team up together.
That's a good point. Very good point.
So it's yes. Thank you, Brian and Michaels.
I just want more powers.
He's gonna do another book.
Right.
Mark Wade's gonna do Hulk.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
Huh?
I think we're all all choppy for some reason.
We're crackling. We're fading out.
Yes, that new Hulk thing by Wade's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
There's anything else that jumps out here at me from Marvel now? There's that. There's the Fantastic Four with Mike Allred.
Yeah, I might try that too.
Yeah.
Captain America. No, I don't care about Captain America. I still don't care about Captain America.
No, he's a bully. He's a bully in a flag.
Yeah.
Bully in a flag. Okay.
Yeah, I really am disappointed how they handled this whole mutant thing. They could have made it better, but they just made it worse.
Thrust into a bizarre, inhospitable world, far from home, the all-new high-adventure, mind-melting, tough-as-nails, sci-fi, pulp fantasy era of Captain America is now!
Sci-fi's fantasy? But what?
Wow.
Really?
Who's on his book?
Rick Remender and John Romita Jr.
Oh, well, now that might make me read it. I love his stuff.
JRJ.
Well, it'll look pretty.
Here's a preview of the all-new X-Men.
With no country and no allies, what's left for the Sentinel of Liberty to protect? The saga of Dimension Z begins here.
Where are you reading that?
Marvel site.
Oh, okay.
Well, that would be a good place to hunt for information on Marvel now.
Yes, that's what I'm
like the
was
things
looking
that
at.
They've got that there.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Then we get A plus X. With Warren Ellis doing some of the writing on it, which actually has me intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is mostly just like a Marvel team up book, right? Like it's
yeah, that's what it is.
And I don't know if it's ongoing or if it's mini.
They're probably saying it's ongoing until it's a mini.
Yeah, until
one of the things they've got going, they got this Cable and X-Force thing, which has Colossus on it, but he is
right. Yeah, he's a fugitive still.
Last we heard, yes, he is a fugitive. But thank God, Cable's back. Woohoo! Just That was laced with sarcasm, by the way.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes, big gun. I'm sensing, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sensing that our post Avengers versus X-Men enthusiasm is not incredibly high, or is it just because two out of three of us are under the weather?
Yeah.
I would say my enthusiasm is not as high.
No, I'm kind of disappointed with what they're doing here.
Like, if you look at what DC did, their Flashpoint was a dud, but my excitement for the new 52, like I was pretty pumped and interested in seeing what was going on, whereas this, I enjoyed AVX for the most part. Like I thought it was a good story and it looked great and the writers all worked together really well, so that was pretty cool, but as it ended, I'm like, eh.
And it doesn't seem like it leads into this new Marvel Universe except for the Avengers X-Men stuff or the Uncanny X-Men. And Uncanny Avenger. It seems like Flashpoint, and even a lot of the Marvel stuff, you know, when they do their big events, they lead directly into these new titles, but this doesn't feel, it feels like, oh, you know, we want to do all these new titles, so how can we make it seem like into those new titles, which it doesn't seem to at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, Uncanny Avengers it does, but...
Well, in some cases, yeah, but they don't, they haven't, they've gone out of their way to make sure we know that this is not a DC thing. We're not ending everything and restarting everything. We're just
looks like it to me.
A new...
Really, who thought up of this bringing the old X-Men from the past into the future? I mean, that, I mean, seriously? It makes no sense.
You know,
they should have had them come in somehow. The Phoenix Force accidentally brought them, because how are they going to explain them just all of a sudden showing up? And this makes no sense at all.
Oh, they'll...
No, and that's what I'm saying, is it doesn't seem like that there's any... At least the moment that there's any tie to this, you know, this event series is leading anywhere. It has any tie to that, or a new Captain America book, or a new Iron Man book, or a new Deadpool book, for that matter.
Avengers book, too.
Yeah, I guess that's true. They probably could have used, like, the 12th issue and had when the Phoenix Force exploded there. We could have had a couple of pages of, and suddenly the young baby X-Men are back in now time. And, like, just... to make you go, but I guess at the same time, they wanted to make sure that this series had a definite, like, ending. Like, you could look at it and see that, yes, this is an ending. There's no loose ties. It's all, it's finished. Because so many of their events have not had endings. They've just led right into the next thing. And they were really clear that they wanted this to have an ending. So it does. It has an ending.
Yeah, it's not Green Lantern, where it's one event leading to the next event, leading to the next event, leading to the next event. No, you're right, and good for them, but then they shouldn't tout it that, you know, in the ashes of Avengers versus X-Men, we get Marvel now. Well, how? How did we get Marvel now out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. So, okay.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
From what we know so far, they're bringing a bunch of mutants and Avengers together into one team. But then again, yet you got New Avengers number one in January, and Avengers number one in December. Captain America is going to get flung onto some other planet or dimension, actually, from the solicit of it. Deadpool, meh, whatever. Fantastic Four is going to be in space and off Earth, which is why.
Which is why we have the F. What do they call it?
FF.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Future Foundation. They're handpicked, you know, so Fantastic Four is going to be off somewhere, too. And I don't know how they left that last Incredible Hulk series where Hulk is and Banner are both back together and going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, which is a really cool idea. So then they're starting to... Iron Man over again, and I'm not seeing it's Technovirus from the Extremists. Okay, well, whatever.
See, I think they could have just said, you know what, screw it, we're going to do what DC did, we're going to reboot a bunch of titles.
That's what it looks like they're doing, really.
Yeah, and I think they should just own it, just say, you know what, it worked for them, let's give it a shot.
And then you got the only real X-Men book here. In this bunch, anyway, is this X-Men Legacy number one, where it's all about that Legion guy, which is Xavier's son.
Cool.
That's in November.
Yeah. I enjoyed the series for what it was worth. I'm looking forward to a couple of these post things, but I'm not certain how they are post Avengers versus X-Men. I'm going to try and treat them as just, you know, new series that have absolutely nothing to do with this event, which, I'll be honest with you, unlike Flashpoint, is going to be quickly forgotten. It's not going to be something that people are going to talk about 5 or 6 years from now.
Okay, and here's something I just picked up on.
AVX, you don't think they'll be talking about it?
Apparently at issue 700, they're ending Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And in bringing back, I don't know, it doesn't say how long, but not immediately, Superior Spider-Man.
Or it'll probably be the next month.
That's crazy.
I'm looking forward to that because I like Amazing Spider-Man. So
yeah, I do too. I'm just way behind on. Well, I don't know. I think we beat this. What do you think?
I don't think we're going to be talking about this this event 5 years from now.
Oh, absolutely not. And I won't be paying $75 for the hardcover of it collected either. Or the 50 or whatever the discounted price on Amazon for that matter.
You're not gonna hunt this up?
No. Well, I might find it. You know, once it hits the $5 bin at some con, yeah, I'll get it then.
Yeah, I'll get it in the same bin as the Secret Wars collection that has Secret Wars and Secret Wars 2 and Secret Wars 3 in it. So.
There you go.
Jerry Curl Beyonder.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
That's who was missing from this series was the Beyonder.
Oh yeah?
And the Watcher. Did they have the Watcher? He's supposed to show up at all these things.
That is a great point. They were even on the moon.
Yeah, he's supposed to just wander by, watch, and then wander off.
Slow down like passing a car. Right.
This is a train wreck. I can't turn my eyes away.
Oh, is it a train wreck?
I liked it. I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
Speaking of train wrecks, have you seen Super 8?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Super 8. I did. I saw it not too long ago. I liked it.
It's streaming on Netflix. I mean, my wife and I watched it, and I'm glad we didn't have the kids in the room, because...
That was something, wasn't it? We saw that when it came out. I want to get that on Blu-ray. That's an excellent movie.
I liked it.
All right. So on a scale of – I hate to close it out. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being forgettable, 10 being crisis. I don't know.
I would go with that.
So one being Secret Wars 2, 10 being Crisis.
I give it a solid 7.
I don't know, 6?
Yeah, 6.
Really?
Yeah, I'd give it higher, but it just didn't... It was so hyped up as being this, you know... It was a lot like, okay... What am I thinking? Final Crisis. There was good parts and bad parts, and it was hyped up to be this huge, you know, thing. And it just wasn't. So, I don't know.
I think that's a great comparison. I think that's a spot-on comparison, because Final Crisis has no consequences.
No, it had none whatsoever.
And the only consequence of this is that we're back to status quo from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm sticking with my 7.
Okay.
That's fine.
And I'd put it above Final Crisis. Final Crisis.
Oh, I don't know, because it was just about as confusing.
What? No, ABX had totally straight lot. Like,
I think it was, because it was confusing. Confusing. Well, for one thing, it was the same guy writing it, and the voices were different a little bit, and issue to issue, and then you had all those side things, and I don't know.
All I read was ABX, and to me it was pretty straightforward, whereas Final Crisis, I was confused.
Oh, well, yeah, that was confusing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe AVX was a little bit easier to understand, maybe.
To the credit of this series, none of the ancillary stuff was required, whereas the Final Crisis, you absolutely had to get the Superman 3D.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is true.
You absolutely had to be reading Batman at that point.
But some of the ancillary stuff of Final Crisis was better than the original. Like the Rogue's Revenge and a couple of those other ones.
That's a discussion for another time. But I would put it in terms of the core series, yeah. I think that's a good comparison, that Chris. I really do.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Alrighty. I think that wraps it up.
I think it does, too. I'm
all here. Alrighty.
Close her out, Chris.
Okay. Well, let's see. As usual, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Or we should call this the tissue cast, as Caleb said in the pre-show.
Tales from the tissue box.
Yeah. And, of course, you can see us on Facebook. Just do a little search in the search box for Tales from the Long Box podcast. We're there. We're also on iTunes. I checked the other day. We're still there.
We're still going. Podcast.
Yeah. I might not be able to get into the web host right now, but I can get to the website at least. anyway, that's about it. Just send us, tell us what you think. Let us know, comments and questions, suggestions, heckling, whatever. We will talk to you next time.